Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez, CEO, Queensland Seafood Industry Association, welcoming you back to our series of podcasts. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Associate Professor Dr. Claudia Baldwin. Claudia works for the University of the Sunshine Coast and is currently working with the association and industry to look at a project involving social license to operate. So I'll hand over to you, Claudia. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Look, the podcast series is trying to get at particular issues to do with the commercial fishing sector, and I thought now that we're towards the delivery end of the project that we've been working on, it would be good to get your perspectives on a few things to do with the project and allow you to have a chat to not just our members, but those in the wider fishing community that will listen to this podcast. So just to start with, why the project? Why did we take this on from your perspective? You can give us a bit of a summary.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I think fishers face a big challenge. You know, how to fish sustainably when habitats and the environment are just changing constantly, and how to convince the rest of the world that they are doing that. To me, there's also a social justice issue about whether all users and the environment are being treated fairly. From a personal point of view, one of the reasons why I was attracted to doing this project is that I love cooking, I love eating, and I love fresh seafood. So I'd really like to be able to use my skills in social sciences applied to natural resource management to make sure that we have a future in our wild-caught seafood industry. Just hopefully, you know, I'll make a wee bit of difference. I would be pleased with that. I've also used a technique called photo voice in the past in many research projects. And I think it's a really authentic way of understanding people's values and their concerns. So I'm using it in this project.
Before we go on, and for the sake of our listeners who may not be aware of it, what is photo voice?
Okay, photo voice involves asking people involved in a research project to take photos around a certain theme or topic and then share them in interviews and in a group, and then to display these interviews in some way that can transmit their message, the message they want to get across to people who they want to influence or they want to hear them. So in this case, we ask fishers to take photos that illustrate how they fish and what matters to them and what their concerns are with the fishing industry.
Great. Okay. So as part of the core part of the project was to talk to fishers across Queensland. Can you give us some sense of where you had that feedback from commercial fishers and at which ports you did this?
Yes. So we interviewed fishermen in Tin Can Bay, Moreton Bay, and the Gold Coast. So three sites where we did the photo voice interviews and got people together to talk about what they meant. And a number of themes emerged from those interviews. Would you like me to give you some examples of those?
Yeah, please. I guess for the listeners not being fully involved with the project, did you have some sense, given your research background, what those themes might look like, or did you get some surprises from the themes that emerged, or was it relevant to a fisher's experience from your perspective? Again, using your background in this, did you find something that was, oh wow, I didn't know this, or this is something different that I haven't seen before? Did you have any of those kind of moments?
Yeah. I guess there are a couple of things that I did expect. I might just cover those first. So one was, you know, a pride in the quality of the seafood product. People took photos of beautiful fresh seafood and fishing for it. A good example was the Gold Coast Fishermen's Co-op, where they can sell directly to the public, and you can see that interaction that they have with the consumer.
Yep.
Another thing that I expected was discussion about sustainability, because that's always on Fisher's minds. But I think what interested me is the amount of effort that fishermen are putting into developing equipment, new techniques for reducing bycatch, ensuring that bycatch that is caught is released, and that is released survives. Some of these techniques are fairly low tech, but some are very clever devices that actually need patenting. The other thing that really struck me was fishers understand their resource. I mean, they rely on it for a living, so they need to understand what the seafood is doing in its environment. So they often agree amongst themselves where to fish, informally dividing up territory so they can manage stock and rest certain areas. They're helping scientists with their research. And there were some really good examples of that among the Moreton Bay fishers. As one fisher said, if the fish aren't there for years to come, then I won't have any income.
Yeah, okay. So you said before that was, this was your perception of some of the themes that came back. Were there a list of themes that came out more formally that you can tell us about?
Yeah, well, there were two others that I thought and that surprised me. One was this the professional capacity and knowledge of and skills that fishermen have. I was really impressed by the complexity of the industry and the range of skills and knowledge needed. So they need to understand things like weather, navigation, boat handling, mechanics, you know, fuel storage, waste disposal, avoiding pollution. They need to understand the regulations, food handling, business aspects, and even people management, whether that's selling directly to the public, dealing with recreational fishermen on site, or managing a crew for weeks at sea. And a lot of us don't realize, you know, how complex, sometimes dangerous, the industry is. A fourth theme that came out was the contribution to both the community and family. So most of the coastal fishermen are small businesses and contribute directly to a local economy. For example, if there was no commercial fishing in Tin Can Bay, that would have a major impact on the community. Fishermen also, you know, pick up garbage and it gets tangled in nets. They rescue people or whales at sea, you know, other boaters and whales at sea that get beached. So they contribute to the community in a broader way that's often not recognized.
Sorry, before you go, that's an interesting point when you say it's not recognized. Is that as a function of we don't promote what we do well versus media getting onto it? Is it a mix of things, or is it one thing? Because this is a perennial question for industry, is how do we let the community know, one, that we matter, and two, that we're doing things to help that community?
Yeah, I think a lot more could be done to tell some of these positive stories.
Yep.
I mean, often fishermen don't say, oh, you know, we just spent 4 hours rescuing this baby whale that got beached. You know, they might send a photograph to their mates, but not to the rest of the world. So people don't know that. Or they might see people rescuing a whale, but they don't know that they're actually commercial fishermen.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're not on the beach with a big sign on their back saying, I'm a commercial fisherman.
Sure. So yeah. In addition to, and again, this is trying to flesh out what was done in the project. So you spoke with commercial fishermen. Were there other groups that you spoke to try and get a more of a context around the industry in which we work?
Yes, well, you know, this project involves how industry can gain a social license to operate, and gaining social license means having trust in that industry. So as part of the study, we interviewed a range of stakeholders from government, recreation fishing, conservation, and marketing. And one thing was really clear: unless it can be demonstrated that the fishery is sustainable and sustainably managed, there will be no social license to operate. So there's a lot of debate among those stakeholders about, you know, about those aspects. So right now, the Queensland government is undertaking a number of industry reforms, which you're well aware of. So I think there's an onus on both government and the industry to make sure that any changed regulations are identified as best practice to maintain sustainable outcomes. It's up to government to monitor the stock to make sure that any regulations are working. They need to have their data made transparent. And it shouldn't just be a focus on compliance. Fishermen, of course, can all do their part by contributing data and complying with regulations. But I think there's a real role for government to be very transparent about this.
Okay, so just to add to that, at the moment we're at a bit of a crossroads with that, and it's interesting that you bring this up as feedback from other stakeholders, because from a commercial fishing point of view, and this point needs to be made as a ongoing bit of context, is that the department, as in officers of the department, have said in various different forums during the reform process that you mentioned that it's never really been about the sustainability of the stock, because third parties have assessed our stocks to be sustainably fished. It's about the sustainability of the management arrangements that are there, which are two very different things. And I guess sustainability is in the eye of the beholder, because if you've got a third party saying your stocks are okay, but your management needs some improvement, I think that's a different conversation to the fishery not being sustainable. And for me, and this is something to orient the discussion around it, around trying to be fair dinkum about what we need to do and what is potentially different sectors' point of view, is those groups that you mentioned, some of those groups have a degree of angst against commercial fishing and that may colour their view as much as we have our view coloured by their positions on us. So you've got a group of stakeholders that don't necessarily trust each other, but to argue longer term that if you don't have their tick, that you don't have sustainable, you don't have social license to operate, to me is still an open question, because when the department, and this is worth, and I think your research will go some ways to answer this, is if we didn't have a social license to operate before the reform process, the fisheries would have gone through this a lot earlier than they did. I'm truly a believer that the reform was brought on because certain segments of the community don't think we're sustainable, but that doesn't translate to the whole community not thinking we're sustainably managed. And so, again, I think it's a degree of perception. Does one group perceive the other group as sustainable or not? But like you were saying before, and I'm really keen to get the final report out for people to read, is that this kind of research is not done often. And so if this is one step to unpacking that conversation a bit more, it would be a good thing for all of industry, which segues quite nicely to the third question I've got here about the potential of potential impact of social license for industry. Now, you've been looking at this through multiple stakeholders' eyes. Where do you think things are at from this study's perspective only, from what you've been finding?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll answer that and I'll